Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 535. Science Faction, identical but not identical.
This is the first Science Faction after the revolution. You know, we were looking for, I think, during the Ask Bobby an Ungoogleable question, I think we were talking about dates. We can do a post-American coup. I think that's, so we're in year zero, the year zero of...
Yeah, I don't think it counts. Like, obviously, it was like a horrible thing that happened. For those of you guys who might be listening to this achronologically, we just had the big issue, the big dust up at the Capitol right before, I guess maybe 2 weeks before Biden's swearing in. And I mean, listen, obviously, it's a horrible thing that happened and some people lost their lives and whatnot. But I don't know if I'd call it a coup when it was really just like your crazy uncle running through the Capitol building with weird clothes on his head.
No, just because the man who orchestrated it is dumb as fuck, it was still an attempted coup. Just because it was a dumb guy's idea, if it was...
I'll give you attempted coup, sure. But to be fair, like, I feel like that time Wesley Snipes became a sovereign citizen and tried not to pay taxes for a few years was kind of an attempted coup, too. I'm not giving them coup status with an attempted coup.
No, I don't... Okay, if Wesley Snipes roundhoused his way into the White House, took the president hostage, threw him against the wall, and said, I'm a sovereign citizen and always been on black.
Let's not pretend that anything you just said is out of the range of possibility for Wesley.
He's Blade.
And speaking of the Blade of this podcast, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great. And I really wish that I knew what that QAnon shaman guy sounded like, because I would love for him to make appearances on the show.
I mean, you could do any impression.
Hi, it's me. It's QAnon shaman guy. I sound a lot like this Copernicus guy.
Wouldn't it be great if that was that guy's actual
voice? I live with my mom.
Everyone take me seriously.
He does, in fact, live with his mom, by the way. And his mom is, I don't know if you saw, I was reading on the news today, he's going on a hunger strike in prison or in jail right now because they don't serve organic food. And his mom was interviewed. So this tough guy who went to go overthrow the government had to have his mom speak to the press. Jake gets really sick if he doesn't have organic food. No, I don't think that my parenting style was in any way enabling of this.
Oh, man. Now, for those of you guys who were listening and were wondering where their corona update was this week, I am happy to report that, and this might just be a holiday lull or whatnot, I was scrounging around looking for articles, and there just was not that much published science research. There was some, like, popular corona stories and stuff that came up, but there wasn't that much published science research this week. And that might be kind of part and parcel with the holidays and the lag behind the holidays of publishing research and whatnot, but I am hoping that we can start spacing these out to every other week, because there's just not as much stuff going on with Corona as we slowly phase it out. And then eventually the show itself will slowly phase out, because this is supposed to be a science news show, not just a Corona-focused one. The only reason we had to make that episode was because it was taking away from the main science episodes. And so as soon as that thing is beyond us and out of our lives, I will be very, very happy. And until then, we will do it weekly, bi-weekly. Whenever there is news to report, I will do so, but I'm not going to waste anyone's time just by tuning in being like, hey, guess what, guys? No real good publications this week.
You know, yes, Corona is becoming less of the crisis it was. It's, I mean, still a serious issue, but it's becoming less the crisis. But you know what? There are other crises that deserve your once per week episode attention. Global warming, Bobby. That's a fucking crisis.
that's legitimate. I mean, listen, it's still, actually, you would argue it's more of a crisis now than ever. It's just that all I would be reporting on is the numbers and the fact that Southern California has no available ICU beds, which, by the way, I reported on in the Corona update last week. And it's like, hasn't changed and shit's getting bad and multiple hospitals in LA are turning away ambulances. Yes, that is all bad, but it is, none of that is new science news. So still a crisis, worst crisis that it ever has been. Just no real news.
You're bored dating my daughter, coronavirus. Might I say that I have an also fetching daughter, global warming, who is available to date. Please marry her. I have a dowry. Take her to Thursdays.
Yeah, well, global warming would certainly be an issue to consider that would rival and even top that. However, I feel like there's entire other global warming shows. Nobody needs me to pull that off. Also, by the way, there also won't be a Thursday episode this week, and that has nothing to do with not interesting science stuff. That actually happens to do with the fact that I got a bunch of our international patrons. I got their packages back because of improper postage. So sorry, guys. I need to figure that shit out, and I want to make sure I take care of our patrons, so I'm taking that extra time to remail all that stuff out.
Bobby is terrible at handling packages, let me assure you. Yeah. I oftentimes have to fake that that the package was delivered after he handles it, if you know what I mean.
So somebody was joking with me online, like, hey, you know, you better watch out mailing these KN95 masks, because I am putting a KN95 mask in them. He's like, hey, you better watch out mailing out these KN95 masks. You might get busted for, like, international medical supply dealing, which is actually illegal. And I laughed, because I'm like, yeah, right. I'm just throwing in some of these masks to make sure our patrons don't die. And when I got the first few packages back Friday, I was like, wait, what the fuck? Did they bust me? Is this because of the masks? Damn you, Trump.
You thought you could get away with it, you piece of shit?
But it behold, it was not that. It was just improper postage. That was my bad. I want to make sure I get all that stuff out, because I know some of our people got their stuff already and were like, hey, this is cool, sweet. And then other people didn't. I felt bad for them. So I'm gonna make sure I get that stuff out.
Improper postage, like the stamp had dicks on it. And like, I will simply will not deliver this. No, sir, not through this post service.
Well, it's because I put the word bloody on it, but I meant like bloody in an American sense, but some of it was going to the UK, and that's considered a bad word there.
Yeah, you put fag on there, and let me just say that your mailman looked at you. No, this is for Britain. Yeah, this has a British text on it.
Dear, but speaking of our patrons, let's talk about some of our patrons for this week. Patron number one, Edmund Cuddle.
Edmund Cuddle, it's Alex Jones here. Tell you what, I don't believe in QAnon anymore, but I'll tell you what I do believe in. I believe in you, Edwin Cuddle, in your ability to help me stop the government from putting fluoride in water. I hate strong teeth.
All right. And Fred Linton. Thank you, Fred.
Oh, Fred Linton. Jane Goodall here. Wonderful to see you. Thank you for supporting Science Faction. And let me just say, that is a very strong masculine name you have. It roughly would translate in chimp to bubbles.
Is that a strong name for chimps?
Yes, Bubbles, very masculine in chimp, but very effeminate in gorilla societies. Bunch of homophobes.
That's interesting. I wonder why that is. And lastly, of course, Sally Ranker. Thank you, Sally.
Oh, Sally Ranker. Oh, I love you. I remember Sally Ranker. Oh, like the creature from Star Wars. That's great. Star Wars used to be on HBO. I can watch it. I'm still trying to get God to get Disney Plus so I could see all the new Star Wars. Anyhow.
So was Sally Ranker just got her shout out from the QAnon shaman? Is that what happened?
Oh, yes. I'm calling from a Supermax prison in an undisclosed location. I've been arrested. I'm using my one phone call to do a shout out. Hey, it's Jake the QAnon shaman calling. And thanks. By the way, we got Star Wars over here on the TV. Oh, Rancor. But they only let us watch the Jar Jar Binks ones.
All right, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
Article number one, identical twins with non-identical DNA.
Twins? Sorry, Alex Jones here, big fan of twins, because of their ability to help science.
I feel like identical twins were the basis of like 40% of mid-90s sitcom writing. Like there was always, you were switching places for the big tests where one of the twins was good at history or something, or, you know, one of them knew Kung Fu and the other one was getting picked on, or you had a situation where you had to bring your parents together because they had separated and you were going to switch places. Either way, there's always twins shenanigans.
I never got like this like twins fantasy thing, because in what fucking world are you sexy enough to get siblings to sleep with each other?
Well, here's what I never got about it. I always thought that the whole, like, I'm sleeping with identical twins is like a sex thing is stupid. That's the dumbest thing ever. Because, like, let's say you're super into threesomes. Maybe you're even into weird incest threesomes with sisters.
It's not my sister. I mean,
the second identical twin, it's not better than the first. It's not even as good. You've already had that one. That would be like if somebody's like, I just made $1 million. So I went out and bought two of the exact same Lamborghini. And it's like, why? Why not one Lambo and one Ferrari? Why not get some variety? variety in here. Why would you get two of the exact same one? That's like, it's not the same as only one, but it's only like one and a half. It's not the same as getting two whole new different twins.
It's like, well, you get two toys. One of them is the one you don't put miles on. One's the one you play with, and the other one's the show one. The show pony.
Yeah, like you want fraternal twins if you're doing some weird incest three-way banging fantasy. You don't want identical twins. All you've done now is said, look, I've got like the hot one and the slightly less hot one. Like the one that looks almost exactly the same, but like the nose is kind of off.
I feel like you're complaining about a situation that if it were to happen to you, you'd...
I would still be more excited about the non-identical
twins. I wish you were fraternal twins. I actually wish you guys were sisters, but like actually a few years apart. I wish one of you had a cesarean section. I feel like that makes it more real for me.
Now, I always liked the identical twin switcheroos because I thought there was a lot of possibilities for some good jokes in there. You could do a lot of like magic tricks a la The Prestige, you know, like there's a lot of things that you could pull off if you had the identical twin.
I also love the idea of the identical twin because if I ever die, I have somebody to avenge me. I have somebody to avenge whatever happened. And like if my regular brother does this, it doesn't have the same flair. He doesn't get to come in. It's not like he kills the drug dealer who killed me. You know, the drug dealer doesn't get to think he's being hunted by a ghost. The most likely of scenarios.
You could also, to take that a step further, you could also just fake your death, kill your twin, and take over their life.
Oh my God. We both had the psychopath gene. It was him or me. It was legitimately him or me.
Well, I always thought it was interesting because, and this has come up before, if there is a case where it's either a murder and they have DNA or semen or something, or a paternity case, you can't actually prove that it's one over the other because identical twins, right? Same DNA.
That's why I always carry a vial of my brother's semen.
But it has to be fresh. Anything over 7 days and the cops know about it.
I get a package from my brother every 7 days, if you know what I mean.
It's the ultimate care package.
Let me just say that my brother, unlike certain science podcast hosts, knows how to do correct postage.
And he doesn't lick a stamp.
There's not cocks drawn all over the package. There's just a quaint glass of cum.
Oh, dear. Well, so there is an interesting new study concerning identical twin genetics. It comes out of Iceland. Now, the original idea of identical twins, the stuff that I learned in biology when I went through is with identical or monozygotic twins. So basically, identical twins or monozygotic twins, they're coming from a single fertilized egg. Unlike fraternal twins, where basically you have two eggs that come out, they both get fertilized, they're siblings, they have no more relation to one another than any other siblings would.
The movie Twins is the good example. For our fans who don't know what fraternal twins are, it's the movie Twins, the Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, it's the movie Twins. Instead, identical twins, they have one fertilized egg, and that egg, for whatever reason, cleaves itself in such a way that it becomes two separate eggs, and then it multiplies. And because of that, we've always said, you know, exact same genetics, exact same DNA, and to the extent we were kind of right. Now, by the way, there are some differences in those twins. Damien, do you know what some of the differences that we already knew about in monozygotic twins are?
Well, as you've said before, one of them's the ugly one.
Yes, just totally.
Either it's a self-care thing or it's genetic. But I mean, really, epigenetics?
Yeah,
that would
sure.
be different, right?
Sure. And fingerprints, because fingerprints are something that you form. Fingerprints are kind of like, at least what we think, is that it's some element of them are kind of like ripples on a pond. So imagine you throw a rock into a pond and you see the ripples come out. Now, at some point in your early gestation, you're touching the inside of the womb, the inside of your mom's belly, and the ripples form as your skin cells are in a specific formation. So the fingerprints themselves, while probably they have some genetic component to how they form, the actual formation themselves are kind of this random process. So they have different fingerprints. If you had a crime where you find their fingerprints, you'd be able to tell them apart. But if you just had DNA or you were trying to do a paternity test and figure out who's the father on Maury, you wouldn't necessarily be able to differentiate between the two. So that's the traditional view.
Damn it. I carried around this vial of my brother's cum for nothing.
We've had some instances before where it seems like we are noticing slight genetic differences in certain sets of identical twins. So a large study was conducted in Iceland. Iceland's a great place. We have excellent genetic genealogy, so we know exactly where everybody, like, whose parents were whose, where they came from. We have traces of written genealogy back to, like, the 15th century. This person begat this person, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a great place to do these genetic studies. They looked at 381 pairs of identical twins, and of those, 38 pairs were genetic duplicates of each other, meaning we could not notice any difference out of 38 of those. Again, only about 10%. 39 pairs had more than 100 gene changes between the twins. Now, the vast majority of the rest of them, so about 300 of them, had some amount of changes, not nearly 100 as in the most case.
Now, as a man who desires, as we were talking about earlier, how it was your number one fantasy to sleep with identical twins.
No, it wasn't.
You were raving about it earlier, Bobby.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, this is good news to find out that there's more genetic variation. So your sick fantasy of incest works.
Still incest. I mean, anyway, regardless. So we might wonder, like, why? What could cause this? If they're both coming out of that same fertilized egg, what could have possibly changed them? And these are non-epigenetic changes, by the way. These are stem line changes. These are germline changes. So these are not epigenetic changes. These are not methyl groups that get added on during your lifetime. These are literal changes to the germline of your DNA. And what we now think is the case is that either there are mutations happening while that cell is cleaving, so while that one single cell is becoming the progenitor of two separate cells that will become two different individuals, a mutation happens, and that mutation has not spread through the entire fertilized egg yet. And because of that, as it splits apart, some of it doesn't have all of those changes. And what we're seeing more and more when we look closely at the process of this, where this type of cell actually splits in two to become identical twins, we're seeing that it's not always like it's splitting in half. Sometimes it's like a tiny part splits off, and now there's something that's like 1/4 the size, and then that will start to multiply. And then by the time the baby's born, you don't notice. But up until that point,
you can notice. You can tell.
You came from the chip off the cell, didn't you?
You know which brother that was.
Yeah. So, especially if that's the case, then you could very easily see how mutations that were going on during that time could have not spread to the entire fertilized egg yet, and they could have cleaved in such a way where some of those did not get it. It could also happen that those changes can still kind of take place early on in the gestation before you start growing decently, and can happen slightly after that cleaving occurs as well. Anyway, very, very interesting in that sense. Interesting for a few reasons. One, science has always treated identical twins as like a case study in photocopying. You know, like, hey, if these two identical twins are this way, then we know if any difference must be nurture, right? Because nature is exactly the same. And therefore, you know, this is what nurture is, et cetera. And the idea is, well, maybe they weren't as similar as we thought, and more things can be attributed to genetics. Now, I don't think that's as huge a deal as some of the science articles talking about this made it, because we already discovered something Damien talked about already. We discovered, you know, about two decades ago, which is epigenetics, which is the ability to basically add methyl groups to the end of certain strands of your genetic structure that changes it through everyday life. And because of that, we know that identical twins can have different DNA at the end, because part of it is methylized, and that will change the expression of certain things. So to me, that isn't nearly as big a deal as some of the science writers are trying to make it. I think they are like, hey, you know, what's the big deal about identical twins not being identical? I know all of these science experiments are wrong. It's like, nah, we kind of had a clue for the past 20 years that something's up with this just from epigenetics.
So does this affect any of your published work and your sick Kenzie twin fucking science experiment?
Trial 455, still no female orgasm to be found.
But he keeps trying.
No, I'm not trying that hard. That's why.
Turns out they also really resent being made to sleep with their sibling, you know, who they grew up with their entire fucking life. Sir, can I just please stop having sex with my brother and you?
Now, I will say this does start becoming more important when we talk about things like being able to tell the difference in paternity, or tell the difference in crimes committed by using forensic techniques, which might be a little bit harder to discern through epigenetics, but could be more easily determined through germline genetics and germline DNA. And so this might be something where, now, this isn't going to solve like a lot of CSI cases we have right now, because the fact of the matter is you still are going to have to differentiate. You're going to have to get both twins together. You're going to have to differentiate any mutations one has that another one doesn't have. And then you're going to have to hope that those mutations are what you have in the SNPs that you've taken out of whatever genetic testing you've done on the sample you have.
I would love it if there was a CSI or Law and Order where the big twist at the end was that the guy they were investigating, the reason they couldn't get him DNA wise was they had a vial of his brother's semen in his coat the whole time.
Trusty brother's semen.
This actually isn't even a sex crime. I don't even know why he has the vial of semen. This is a securities fraud. This is insider trading.
This is like a Angelina Jolie, Billy Bob Thornton thing. Like, it's to show love.
Me and my brother have something special. You know, you're making it weird. Yeah, it's my brother's cum. Yeah, it's around my neck.
And it might be interesting to actually do a study to be able to look at mutational causes, because if we do see a bunch of twins that have differences in genetics now, we can't just assume they're epigenetic differences. They might be germline differences, and therefore we're going to have to modify how we look at identical twin studies for genetic differentiation, because that genetic differentiation, which we might have previously thought was all due to epigenetics, clearly doesn't have to be. Now, again, we're still looking at about 10% of twins that are essentially photocopies of one another. You are the exact same as your twin. And so there are still some for whom that traditional view is true. But 10% isn't a lot. It's not even the majority. So that means that for the most part, we're going to have to look at identical twins as being, I think we should start calling them mostly identical twins.
Yeah, I've seen the movies you make, mostly identical twins. Because there's one fraternal twin that Bobby will bang at the end.
You know, this is going to be your final vengeance. You cast a movie about me loving to bang identical twins, and you just hire like a gruff Jersey dude to walk into like a bar at a twin convention and be like, which one of you is the Coca-Cola and which one of you is the RC Cola? Because I want the good twin.
You know, it's me. I'm the one who wants to bang twins. I've been projecting on you this whole time. I'm sorry. It's all I think about.
All right. Article number two.
Even those two fat twins on motorcycles that you see in like the Guinness Book of World Records, I want to bang them.
You know what? I was just thinking about that the other day. I bet you they're both dead. Like, I was just...
Absolutely.
Because I think I remember seeing them on the back cover of a Guinness Book of World Records from like 1993. And if that's the case, they were living hard in the 80s and 90s when we didn't have statins and the ability to keep fat people alive nearly as well. And also their love for mini bikes without helmets. Like, that can't be healthy.
Yeah, I was actually saying that's what killed him. It wasn't obesity. Yeah. It was a motorcycle accident.
Well, I mean, they weren't doing themselves any favors on those mini bikes, right? Like, if they would have gotten themselves like a Harley Softail or something, then it would have looked proportional and they would have just looked like a chubby dude from the Midwest. But when you go with the mini bike, it's like they're wearing the thong of motorcycles.
I think these were two brothers who realized they had a thing like, hey, we're both morbidly obese. You know what? Mom was wrong about us. We're getting in Guinness. We're special.
Yeah, but like, why does that mean you have to put the strain on a two-stroke motor that's like connected with a bunch of go-kart parts? I mean, why?
Maybe that's how they died. One of them just snapped.
Can't we just ride a regular-sized motorcycle for once, Jim?
My ass hurts so bad.
Okay, article number two, the plague in ancient Siberia.
Is the plague just being Russian? Is the plague
it's killed
despair?
So many millions.
Yeah, despair is Siberian plague. We all get it. You want the vodka? Most tasty drink in Siberia.
There's a very interesting ancient DNA study that just came out. It looked at over 40 human skeletons over the past like 17,000 years in Siberia. It's a crazy, crazy amount of ancient DNA. It's some of the, probably the biggest single ancient DNA study in Central Asia as of yet. And it discovered a bunch of interesting stuff. On top of the fact that it discovered interesting fluctuations in certain groups around the Lake Baikal region, the western part of which basically had a continuous intermingling with parts of Europe and other parts of Asia for a long time. But the eastern part of Lake Baikal essentially stayed the same people for like 9,000 years with no interbreeding or with any other people and stuff. It's like, I don't know what they were doing on the eastern edge of Lake Baikal, but it must have been like a murder anything that comes near us for people. Because we've talked about this before. If there's one thing that's true of humans, we fuck. Right? Like, and we will get to place, we will travel long distances to fuck. Like, we have seen that time and time again in human history. And the fact that nobody could make it to the east end of Lake Baikal to fuck over there means that somebody, there must have been heads on pikes or like just like spears being thrown at anybody who came close.
It is, they got plague of despair. It is hard to wander Siberia without killing self. These people are just resistant.
They also found evidence of DNA from plague bacteria in two of the skeletons, one from 4,400 years ago and one from 3,800 years ago. That's really interesting because it means that the plague made it to these very remote areas rather early, much earlier than we had ever thought. And it might have had some serious impact. Now, we don't know how virulent this strain of the plague was. Maybe it was something that they could all live with and that it wasn't that big a deal. Or maybe it actually explains another finding from the study, which is that between 4,700 years ago and 4,400 years ago, there was an extreme narrowing of genetic diversity that could be indicative of, you know, a human population bottleneck, which tends to happen if a lot of people die out. Now, it could also happen if, like, one dude takes over and starts banging a whole bunch of people. But, like, in general, tends to happen when a lot of people die off.
For a long time, nobody, a lot of people ugly in Siberia. It took a long time to get people worth fucking.
I don't know that there has ever been a hot person in Siberia. I think Siberia, like the hot die young in Siberia.
There was, I suppose, time a Brazilian model plane crash in Siberia.
I feel like that's a Peter Frampton song, The Hot Die Young.
The guitar does the talking.
The hot die young.
It's pretty interesting because, one, we're seeing the plague spread out very early, much earlier than thought. Again, it's hard for us to determine the plague before about 20 years ago because we couldn't do the DNA testing for it. We could only tell if you had some kind of really, like, if we had written records or something like that was going on. So being able to trace it back this far in history is very, very interesting, and to see how long it has essentially bothered us as human populations, even in remote places. You know, 4,400 years ago wasn't exactly the backwater of the world if you were in ancient China or, you know, some places in Central America, but it certainly was on the western edge of Lake Baikal in Siberia. Like, that was still buttfuck nowhere, just like it is now. And so it is kind of interesting that the plague made it that far that early.
Now, when we say the plague, we are thinking of one.
Yes, the bacteria that causes the plague. Yes, exactly. Now, now these are also a very, like, historically important group of people. Relatives of these people, a long time ago at least, were likely one part of the group that became the Beringians that later became the early Americans, and they were certainly parts of both subsequent waves of people we refer to as Native Americans. One, the Dorset, which were about 5,500 years ago, became a lot of the natives of the northern Arctic, of Greenland, of that places, and then a recolonization somewhere between 1,500 to 1,000 years ago, with people that we see sometimes called the Inuit and those groups. So both of those people came out of these Siberian stocks, as did a bunch of relatives of the steppe people that became the Scythians and the Huns and the Mongols, etc., etc., etc. So these people are genetic.
And Santa Claus.
Yes, but the Russian Santa Claus who just brings guns and hookers.
You're good. Oh, yeah, I also bring cocaine because the Russian Santa likes to party. Play disco music.
But Russian kids grow up fast. So by the time you're 7, you're making fun of your other Russian friends in the first grade. And you're like, ha ha, it was your dad who brought those hookers and that AK.
Oh, young Sergei, you think you're man enough to pull gun on Santa, don't you?
And it's like a true story. Every Christmas Eve, like, at least 200 to 300 Russian children are shot by Santa Claus.
You think you are the first child to try to rob Santa?
This is Russia. Me not being prepared to be robbed in Russia is like me not being prepared to be pelted by beer cans in Philadelphia.
Not even Putin dared touch Santa's cocaine.
It's okay, Russia. We're terrible too. Like, our stereotypes are very unflattering as well.
Well, so very interesting, because whether it was the plague itself causing these genetic bottlenecks, you know, 4,400 years ago, or something else that's associated that caused them that we can now tell through the genetic evidence of this study, something affected a very genetically important group to the rest of the world, and groups that would come to take over, like I said, from the Scythians through the Mongols, through the Huns and everybody else. And so very interesting to get these glimpses in there. By the way, 40-person ancient genetic study dating back, I think the oldest one was like 17,000 years old. That's amazing. That's something that would be science fiction like maybe 6 years ago. And the fact that we're pulling this out, 40 of these ancient genetic samples, simply amazing. And when we put enough of this...
It is great that we can document Russian suffering
so well.
We put enough of these studies together at the end, you know, at some point we're going to have these genome, these mass databases of genomes. We're going to be able to kind of tell the exact history of the world, meaning with enough of this data, you can kind of be like, all right, well then 40,000 years ago, this group of people moved from upper northeastern China over into part of Siberia and became this group of people before going extinct, but contributing a slight amount of genetics to this people and blah, blah, blah. And eventually one of them was Genghis Khan. Like, we will be able to narrow things down that much.
Will we ever be able to do that with peoples who live in equatorial climates just because it's so hard to keep DNA?
I think we will be able to. I think we'll find some stuff. For instance, you know, a lot of times we're finding more and more that we can find bits of DNA on tools themselves. So we don't necessarily need to find bones. You know, a lot of times it's hard to find bones and skeletons in certain humid, lush forest areas, but we still find tools. And if you can find DNA on those tools, then you can do the exact same thing. And so it will be interesting to see how it works, certainly in places with better preservation. It's hard to beat Siberia when it comes to preservation and, you know, occupancy length. So
nothing truly dies in Siberia. It is great and terrible irony.
Yeah, only dreams. All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 535, where you learned all about identical or not so identical twins and the plague in ancient Siberia. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 536.
In Siberia, we have saying, keep your friends close, but keep your brother's vial of semen even closer.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.